Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got the Venerable Tom Dorrien sitting in front of me.
Good morning, sir.
And
or good afternoon, wherever you are.
Well, exactly. Great.
Either
point.
Way.
Very good point.
Or good night.
Good night.
We have not had batteries.
Good day, sir.
We haven't had batteries in our clock, and that's the problem. Our clock's off the wall. It's been sitting over there.
We got to get that fixed.
And I'm supposed to remind myself to bring in a couple of double A's, and I don't, and there it sits. Yeah. So we don't know what time it is.
Yeah.
Ziggy Rodriguez is here.
That's me.
And so, but at least we're all here at the same time, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
That's a good thing. So today we're going to talk about the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's the readings focus on Jesus and where he tells us that he says to us, you are the light of the world. But then the gospel, that's the gospel from Matthew. We'll read it. But also the verse, the Alleluia verse before the gospel is actually taken from John chapter 8. And that's where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. And so there's a connection in all this.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Old Testament reading is from the prophet Isaiah in the 58th chapter. And that sheds light. Let's see what I did there.
I'm impressed on
this verse as well. So and then, of course, the Psalm, Psalm 112, the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. So light is the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Although we have a little salt sprinkled in there, you know, in the gospel as well. And so I don't know what your priest or deacon's going to preach on, you know, when you go to Mass this weekend, whether it's going to be salt or light. Yeah, probably, since light seems to be the theme. But the Gospel's Matthew chapter 5, and where it says, Jesus said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Then he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. And we've all heard that gospel many times,
mm-hmm.
right? And in this Psalm 112, the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, and goes on and on. But again, it's about that outpouring of us to others,
mm-hmm.
right? But what I really like is when we connect the gospel reading to the Old Testament reading, and we see the parallels there, really where in the gospel reading, it just shines a light on what that what the prophecy of Isaiah is saying, and we can see something even deeper and profound. So in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 7 through 10, it says, thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. So there's this image of light that Isaiah wants us to see. And of course, you know, he's prophesying Jesus as the light of the world. But I love the interplay between Jesus is the light and Jesus telling us that we are the light, right? And then you see why Jesus can say that, because we are the light if we have Jesus in us,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we're doing the things that Isaiah is telling us to do, giving bread to the hungry and clothing the naked, right? If we don't turn our backs on our fellow man, our people around us, And I, because I just, I love that where it says, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. It's almost like there's this, you were made in God's image and likeness, and you've got this light in you that is just part of your DNA in your creation. But it breaks out, it breaks forth, right, out into the world once you encounter the world. So Jesus' light shines so brightly, and others can then see it. And then it becomes this viral thing. Right. And I just, it's not so simple as just to say, well, Jesus is the light of the world. You know, in the church has always seen Jesus as the light. And that's one of his titles, you know, the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And he says it himself, like I said, in John. And so you start to recognize that. And you stop and think about light has been such an integral part. The Easter Vigil. We light a fire outside the church, and that's the sort of primal fire, the beginning, the creation. It's sort of like a representation of creation. We light this fire that we can see that brings warmth and that brings light to our eyes and dispels the darkness, right? And then we light the Easter candle from that, and then that candle is taken into a darkened church. Right, what beautiful imagery that this church is empty and dark, and then the people come in bearing, following this light of the Easter candle, and then when they come in, follow the light of the Easter candle, then we all light candles from that Easter candle, and then this light, it basically enlightens the church, mm-hmm. which is the sign that dispels the darkness, and it's like Jesus is the light of the world. So in mass, in any church. Every time you see a candle, it represents Jesus Christ. Every single time. So there's not exceptions. In fact, that's there became this trend. It came from our separated brothers and sisters. The Protestants love to have this thing called a unity candle. Like at a wedding, they'll have these two candles that the couple then put together and light a unity candle together and say, this symbolizes our union. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that, why the church, like the Catholic Church says, you can't have. Now, if you've seen one at a Catholic Mass, Father didn't know, and he didn't really do any doctrinal investigation and go to Rome and find out, are we allowed to use unity candles?
I think we did that.
At your wedding?
I think we did.
So your wedding is invalid. Hey, I think I'm pretty sure it's invalid.
It's invalid?
Yeah.
Yes! I'm kidding.
You better be kidding. I would never say that about Bess. Hi, Bess. I'm so glad our marriage is valid, Bess.
You're not gonna edit this, are you?
No, this is
dang.
In there. This one's in there.
No.
You're gonna get some calls from in-laws.
Yeah, because and I know you're kidding, but the church would say a unity candle. Now that candle becomes symbolic of the union of the people,
right.
And it's not every candle in every church is symbolic of Christ
Jesus
and His
Christ.
Light, right? Whether it's answering prayers, if you've got a bunch of people are lighting candles in a church, that's still Jesus answering that prayer, Jesus mm-hmm. receiving that prayer. Every candle that's lit is especially from the Easter candle. To all around the altar, the candle bearers that come in. That's the light of Christ moving throughout the church and enlightening and dispelling the darkness that surrounds us. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful image. But here Jesus says, you are the light of the world, right? And then basically tells us that we shouldn't be hiding our light under a bushel basket, because it was meant to be shown. Light is meant to be shared. It's not to be kept inside and hidden.
Well, and also, in addition, as you pointed out, you've got that transitional moment between Lent and Easter season, right, with the candles being walking into the darkness during the Triduum Mass, right?
Yeah.
I guess at that point, technically, we're in the Easter season, but still there is that that transitional moment.
That's right.
And in the same way, you've got Candlemas, which is, used to be, so the church has a wide variety of traditions, and in different parts of the world...
Is that where the candle comes out of the ground if it sees its shadow?
Yeah, exactly.
I just was trying to clarify.
Well, so in different parts of the world, it's not just the 12 days of Christmas that, ends on Epiphany, or the celebration of Christmas ending on... the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. There's a lot of different, it's actually also an ancient practice in some areas for Christmas to end on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord.
There is rich tradition that goes way back that has the Christmas season basically ending February 2nd
February
on Candlemas.
2nd, yeah, and that's 40 days after Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, celebrated that recently here within the church. 40 days after Christ's birth, just like Mary, our Blessed Mother, and St. Joseph brought our Lord to the temple in accordance with Old Testament custom, it's not like the church just decided, you know what, we have to figure out a time to bless candles, so we'll just drop that in here. No, it's the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, and we've talked on the show about how, each of us are called in Christ, right? We're members of Christ, and the our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph desires to cradle us in their arms and to present us to our Heavenly Father in Christ, right? And that same way, the candle, which represents Jesus, is us carrying that light of Christ out into the world as well. So that I think when you have those traditions where it's the end of the Christmas season, as opposed to suddenly we're doing this in February 2nd, I think it really brings a lot of beauty into that practice of Candlemas.
You bring up a great point, and it's a reason why all of us really as Catholics should spend some time looking at tradition and looking at history. We don't want to divorce ourselves of our history, and because when we do, that's all the expressions about those who don't are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it and that kind of stuff. But then also, I love Saint John Cardinal Henry Newman who said, to be deep in history is to cease to be Protestant. That was his journey. Because it's like we need to be in history in our church to understand where things came from, because we don't. A lot of times people get labeled as either Looney Tunes or extremists or, old guard people that are just focused on ancient whatever, and they get kind of dismissed by some people thinking like, oh, that's the way they used to do it. We don't do it that way anymore. And it's like, it really behooves us. It's why Vatican II, actually the phrase, the use of Latin shall be retained. That's why that's in there, right? We don't want to divorce ourselves from our Latin language that is the official language of the church. Even if we all speak other languages now, that's great. Latin is not a dead language. It's made alive by the church and continued to be alive by the church. It's how these major documents are promulgated, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like to be ignorant of that is to start to be ignorant of history, and you start to miss little things about like what Candlemas is. And there's just not a lot of people a lot of folks don't recognize that, like, hey, bring your candles on February 2nd and we'll bless them, because that's all tied to this, which is tied to that, which is tied to this. And then again, we see Jesus as the light of the world, and then we take that light into our homes with these blessed candles.
Yeah, we're supposed to have, this is the church encouraging us to have blessed candles within our home. And there's plenty of saints who have reported, and theologians report that there's grace that comes from lighting a blessed candle during prayer or in your home or in your sort of sacred prayer place. It's a good thing to have, because just like Deacon Jeff is saying, what you're doing when you're bringing that light into your home or into some family tradition, you're bringing Christ into that moment.
100%, right? And that's a beautiful thing. And there's what I love also is you mentioned like the historical tradition of like going to February 2nd. And I was teasing about Groundhog Day, by the way, everybody, just so you don't, he was like, I think he actually thinks that this candle comes up out of the ground. All that aside, there is an ancient, beautiful tradition that's tied theologically and doctrinally to our faith that goes way back, right? And we should be aware of those things. But also, there's also a very practical element in terms of like, this is not a random candle blessing day. We'll pick a date that's not already busy. Yeah. And we'll bless candles on that day, because that day is open. It's not that. There are some practical aspects to how the liturgy, you mentioned 40 days and things, how the calendar's laid out, and we'll have the Feast of the Annunciations 9 months before Christmas, and these different things that will happen where you'll see there are connections between when things are celebrated and then when they are, then other things that are connected to it are then celebrated because it's X amount of time. And this is how it happens in nature. And there's a very practical aspect, but also we live in a world of darkness, right? So we need more candles. I mean, we need more light, literally. And so this is why there's a big connection. You know, all the stuff that's going on in the world, there's so much darkness in the world. And you might think that, like, hey, we live in modern times, we fix it all, we all got LED lights now, you know, but still the church forbids LED lights on the altar, right? We can't have the... Now, okay, if you've been to Europe recently, you'll see some priests trying to save a little money and not have to buy the wax and whatnot, but it's like, and we found some ways around these things, but there are... It's supposed to be a living flame. Mm-hmm. Right, you can't have an Easter candle that has like a switch on it. Mm-hmm. Right, you're not going to see a deacon, you know, Lumen Christi, you know, you know, someone forgot the batteries, you know, and it's like you know, that's not going to happen because there's this deep rooted connection to the flame, to the light that is Jesus. And so it's very practical, and it dispels the darkness. I mean, you can see because of the light, literally, right? You can also, what I love is that phrase, you know, like cockroaches scatter when you turn the lights on, you know? I used to live in a house like that. Not with Bess. This is before my...
Pre-marriage.
Yeah, it was pre-marriage, and we lived in a pretty...
Your bachelor days.
Yeah, it was not, you know, I it was fine back then, but it would not be fine now. And literally, you'd come into the kitchen, and you'd turn on a light in the middle of the night, and you'd see all these little black spots moving.
That's not good.
No, it's not good, but they scatter in the light.
Right.
Right? And you look at that as this sort of metaphor for sin and darkness, and... that when the light gets turned on, all the darkness scatters. The devil runs. He hides in the light. And all the terrible things the devil does is done in darkness. Mm-hmm. And then when you shine light on it, it gets... I hope that the Catholic Cafe is not going to be mentioned anywhere in any of the Epstein files anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Right. That would be bad, right?
That would be bad, yeah.
But seriously, all joking aside, I promise
can't
you they won't be.
Can't wait to see how you...
No,
bridge this.
No. But my point is,
you're gonna get some email.
Well, this is what happens when people are there. People want transparency. They want light shown on things.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's good. But what ends up happening is you start seeing things for what they are, and you start to realize just how scary and dangerous and dark and the things we know now, you know, are just really, really awful. And then as we continue to see these things come to revelation and emails get released, and it's like, and I know there's some unfair, like, connections being made because people might have made a perfectly harmless email or some business meeting or something with a terrible person. But at the end of the day, it just leads to scandal and darkness and sin and terrible things. And it's not just that. They're all through politics, all of the racial tensions, all the immigration stuff that's happening, and even within the church, different factions forming. And at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to dispel any of the darkness is going to be light.
Right.
Right. The only thing that's going to make all that go away is light. Right, so let's get those candles blessed. Let's get those blessed candles out and start walking around the house with them, you know, and making sure. Because honestly, as I get older, I see it more and more as I have to get up in the middle of the night more often, you know, and there's no lights. And how many times I've hit my toe on the, you know, the ottoman that's sitting next to my bed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, light is good.
Mm-hmm.
And the metaphor of Jesus as being the light of the world is super important to us.
I agree, and something else I want to share is just the humility that's through in that message. Because when for Jesus to say, "You are the light of the world," because obviously he understood well, you know, that he is in fact the one who is the light of the world, right? And yet he says to in the Sermon on the Mount, in his proclamation of the gospel to those gathered, "I am the light, or you are the light of the world." He would have had every right to say, "I am," but he said, "You are the light of the world," right? And so what is he doing? There's a hiddenness there where he is hiding the fact in that statement saying you are the light of the world, that the true source of light is him, right? Well, think about this. We have an opportunity to mirror that humility, because for him to say you are the light of the world, I mean, at that point, light it's going to shine out for others, like we've been saying, right? You're not going to make it where you are the light of the world, and that's the end point. That's where it stops. Like, we're going
to
put a...
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. He specifically says you don't put it on a bushel under a bushel basket.
Right.
Why? Because it's supposed to shine for others. And so in the same way that he
put it on a lampstand.
Exactly. He allows himself to be hidden within that message and saying, you are the light of the world. We also need to let ourselves be hidden in terms of receiving that from him, that where he says, you are the light of the world. If we say, yes, I am the light of the world, it needs to be for the sake of others, for the good of others, and not for ourselves.
And that's right. And that's how we measure. That's how we see. And that's how we determine. Right. I think when he says you are the light of the world, I think there's it's kind of a conditional statement. Right. You are the light of the world because I am the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples. So if he's talking to someone who is giving bread to the hungry in his name, in Jesus's name, if it's somebody who's clothing the naked in Jesus's name, if it's a Catholic who's been to Holy Communion and has received Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion, Jesus is within you. And that makes you light of the world. As we have partaken of the divine nature. And when we partake of the divine nature, we have realized the image and likeness of God in our creation. It becomes revelation. We emanate Jesus out of us to others. And this is why this is a good measure, because when someone doesn't do that, even if they... You know, they're just the quiet Catholic that kind of goes to Mass and they sit. They don't ever talk to anybody. They don't do anything. They're not evangelizing. They're not sharing things. To what degree are they light of the world? They are, I guess, a potential light of the world, but they're not actually being light. And so there's a challenge to us when he says you are the light of the world, that we need to live up to that, which means we need to actually act upon that. And it's something that we're going to do. And again, I think our separated brothers and sisters in Christ, our Protestant friends, you know, would chide us a little bit and say, well, you know, see, there you go with your works righteousness. You have to work your way into heaven. It's like, no, I'm working because Jesus gave me this admonition that I am the light of the world. And if I'm going to be the light of the world, that means I have to actually do something. I have to be that, that light that all can see, that candle in the darkness, or... whatever it is, so that people can see that the ships don't run up on ground. I've got to be the light that is a beacon of holiness and happiness. And so it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I think that there are a lot of people that are challenged by this, but a lot of people aren't challenged by it, and I think that's the bigger problem. Right, I think a lot of people don't think about this. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Where does the light come from? Who is the light? You know, and how did I get it? And what am I supposed to do with it? A lot of people just kind of, this kind of just passes over them. It's like, well, that's a nice phrase. We are the light of the world. We sing the little songs from the 70s. And life can just get so easy to live sometimes. And then you look around again and see all the darkness that's out there, all the horrible things that are happening. And you wonder, like, well, what's the answer? And the answer is within us, because it's Jesus within us as disciples. Mm-hmm. And so the question then becomes, what are we doing to live up to that? Are we bringers of love and mercy and peace? Are we bringers of violence? You know, are we bringers of hatred? How are we participating? And even if there's things that we need to stand up for and stand against in unison, how are we doing that? Are we doing that in a way that brings light, or is it something that ends up causing more pain and more suffering?
Or are we witness? There's a difference between like witnessing and virtue signaling, right? Are we sharing Christ and witnessing Christ, or are we pointing to ourselves and saying, "Look how good I am," or are we saying, "Look how good Jesus is"? Let's all imitate His goodness and bring His goodness.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. That recent episode where some protesters went into like a church and disrupted that their worship service, is like, I look at that and go, like, ultimately, and I don't know all the details, and maybe I don't want to get into things that start getting into a political realm, but the reality is I go, like, wow, that's like in a church now, and politics in the church, that's, life starts to get really, I don't know that that brings light. I don't know that there was light shed in that situation. Some people will defend it, but I think, for the most part, I think it's indefensible. I just don't think you can go. I remember there was a time where there was a certain group of people that were anti-military who used to go and disrupt military funerals by blowing trumpets and things, at a funeral service, you know, or at the graveside and things like that as part of protest. And I'm thinking, I don't know that that's bringing light. I actually think that's probably doing
the parishioners
the
in that example, though, did bring the light. They conducted themselves. So if you focus on that, which is what we're supposed to be, I think, then I think you do see the light.
They could have very easily gone the wrong way
they
with
could
that.
Have.
Couldn't have. They could have like fought fire with fire,
exactly,
and that would
right.
have been. I think that would have been a mistake. So I see that as a negative and a positive example.
Exactly.
The negative is maybe the protest part that happened. I have no problem with people protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to stand outside the church
yeah.
and do that, I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, but I
mm-hmm.
understand. But, you know, maybe I don't agree. But at the end of the day, it's like that didn't disrupt the actual worship of God.
Right.
You know, and that's where I'm like, I just think maybe they overstepped. But then how those folks responded, how beautiful that was. So
amen.
Jesus is the light of the world, and he helps us to understand that we are the light of the world when we share his gospel, when we share his love, when we share his peace. And I think that's the only way we're going to get through this darkness, because Jesus is the light that will dispel the darkness. And there is no other light. There is no other way in which we can overcome darkness as light without the light of Jesus Christ to do that for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.